I don't know how much time you've had to review the reports of the judge's school finance ruling.
It's a pretty long ruling, I understand. I've read portions of the very beginning of it and some of the news clips about it. So,
what's your take on it so far?
Well, it's not an unexpected ruling. We have a Travis County judge that made this ruling, and of course the ruling's been stayed until July 1st, 2015. It's been appealed to the Supreme Court, or will be appealed to the Supreme Court. That allows the legislature to take a good, long look at his ruling and take appropriate action this next session.
You've had some legislative history regarding this. Again, you said, and I don't think anybody was surprised that the ruling was going to basically come out the way it did. So between now and January, anything can be done to get this resolved early in the session? Do you kind of figure this is going to drag out all of next year?
No, it's going to drag out into the session. Me personally, as a father of three public school children and as a legislator, of course, my concern is how do we provide our 6 million school-age children in the state of Texas a quality education? And that revolves around the issues of adequacy, equity, and efficiency. Those are big discussion topics and have actually been debated over 30 years in reference to what is the adequate amount of funding to educate school-age children in the state of Texas and how to distribute that money between school districts and across the state.
Many competing interests. You've heard probably from them all already, and you'll hear from them again.
Certainly, yes. There are property-rich school districts, property-poor school districts. There are individuals that are affected and at the maximum tax rate. About 200 of the school districts out of the 1,100 in the state are at the $1.17 cap. But they're still below that. 80% or more of our school districts have leeway to raise their tax rate if they so choose. So there still is some slack in the system. And that was a term that I heard once and remember from when Commissioner Rick Scott, the Texas Education Agency Commissioner, testified before the Appropriations Committee, that there still is some leeway for school districts to adjust their tax rate and increase revenue if they see fit.
Among the financial dynamics, you'll be going into another legislative session where there's going to be projected additional revenue.
Right. Yes. I think we'll come in $3 or $4 billion ahead of what we were projected by the comptroller in reference to our tax sales tax revenue, and of course we're still continuing to do well with the oil and gas severance tax and the economic stabilization fund and the rainy day fund might have north of $8 billion in it. So we will have resources to make adjustments, but we have competing interests. Certainly, education is a top priority, but we have the issues associated with keeping the Texas economic miracle going. That includes things such as energy and roads and water, which and then not to mention criminal justice, for instance, and of course health care. Lots of different competing interests for the dollars of the taxpayers of Texas.
So what does your crystal ball say about all this?
Well, I think we'll find a way forward. We always do. It's not always a pretty picture, but again, me personally, my concern is making sure that we can provide a quality education for those 6 million school-aged children in public schools in the state of Texas.
Have I missed anything?
No, Bill, I hope A&M, if you're going to be playing this tomorrow morning, I hope A&M has won. As far as the session, I look forward to it. As you probably know, I've been appointed the chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee, and I'm on the Finance Committee now in the Senate. So I will obviously be in the thick of this discussion as the session starts next January.
And I was going to bring up the reference to the Finance Committee in particular because there will be a very intimate relationship with the Education Committee.
That's right. Of course, the two biggest components of our state budget are education and health care, Medicaid in particular. Education still is the largest component of our state budget, but health care now is closing in on it. Medicaid, for instance, now is 30% of our all funds budget. To give that some comparison for the listeners, back in 1988, Medicaid was only 11% of our state budget. So as the portion of our state budget that is devoted to health care increases, it puts increasing strain on education, on criminal justice, on transportation, on energy, and on water, of course. So, it's a balancing act about what is the appropriate level of taxation and spending at the state level for all of these various competing interests.
Do you envision yourself as a facilitator with your leadership role in Health and Human Services and your position on finance?
Oh, certainly, yes. I'll have a very significant impact on the health care portion of our budget, which is, of course, a largely an entitlement portion, with Medicaid being 30% and it being an entitlement program. But I do have leeway in some of the discretionary portions of the state budget in reference to health care, and will be a significant voice as to the efficiency and effectiveness and the costs associated with those services.
Well, a lot of time between now and the start of the session and the end of next session, so
there are. And I'm hard at work preparing for it. And as a new chairman, I've had many, many meetings over the last month. So look forward to serving, and it's a real honor to be appointed chair and to serve the people of District 5.
Sounds like you think you're up to the task.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.